your spouse.
People, women, they won't submit.
Ooh, yeah. Uh-oh, we get spicy there.
Richard.
Some people have a problem with that. That's our culture right now. Well, it's the state of the culture.
Okay.
Why you put it all on the women, though?
I got to get this. I got to hear this. What is y'all's knee-jerk reaction when you hear the word submit? How does it? How do you feel when you hear that word?
I think they're turning on us.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
We would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. I'm excited today because we got some special guests, you know, in-person guests. Shira, you care to do the honors?
Sure. You know, Marcus must be just overjoyed because
I'm excited.
He's laughing, he's giggling.
Yeah.
And we do have two guests, in-person guests. And they are my brother.
How y'all doing?
My brother Ryan and his lovely wife Simone. Yes. Hey.
All right, y'all. So we're gonna do something a little different. We're just gonna have an organic convo, right? As organic as it can be with the mics and everything.
All right.
But one thing we've used Ryan a few times on as far as like we've talked about things you've talked about on the podcast, because you always have an interesting outlook on stuff.
Oh, really? I didn't know I was involved in.
Let's see. Well, the first one we did, Ryan, when your take on like boomers, we talked about that on the show.
You called it like generation wars.
Yeah. Like your theory on boomers, I thought was super interesting. Do you care to?
Do you remember, Marcus?
I remember? I don't know if I remember.
I think it was that they have some selfish tendencies in how they one, they're in all the political spaces, right? Two, what else did you say? They are kind of the biggest takers of the subsidies, you know what I mean? I thought that was interesting, so we used that.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely an interesting conversation.
Yeah. Do you remember your theory on that?
Oh,
I know we're starting off with the...
Man, I had a lot to say about boomers, you know? I just don't know where to begin.
Yeah.
I had a new theory on boomers.
Okay.
About how they're the worst grandparents of all time.
Uh-oh, Richard.
Say that.
They're the worst grandparents of all time.
Now we're not going to get any Christmas presents. What are you doing?
Okay, well, that's...
They don't like watching their grandchildren. They're nowhere to be found.
Yeah. Let's lean into that because... I don't know. I feel like, yeah, it's different. Our grandparents were more, I don't know. I feel like they were.
I think it just depends
available.
On your family, right? Because your grandparents were a lot different than our grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, so it just kind of depends. But
yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a good talking point because it does seem like. It does seem like they're not as available as the generations past to be there to watch the kids. It's almost like they're trying to still have fun, too.
Yeah, they want to have a life.
They want to have a life, too.
I mean, just think about it. Let me ask y'all realistically.
Okay.
When you get older, do you want to watch your grandchildren? Like, y'all probably going to have a lot of grandchildren. So... Do you really want to be in your 60s watching grandkids every day, or do you want to be just free to travel?
Right.
You know, no, I'm not. Probably, I'm not going to watch it. And my plan is to move away. I'm supposed to be moving away to Santa Monica.
Oh, thanks for filling me in.
Yeah, let's hear this. Talk about
surprise.
Let's talk about this, yeah.
I feel like I would like to watch my grandchildren, but I do think that we're at a point where things are a little bit different.
Yes.
Whether it's because people want to have more fun or because they're more tied down. Like, I feel like my grandparents were already retired. So their circumstances were different. So I feel like that's something important to take account into account. Some of them, yeah, maybe they are prioritizing themselves more. We're all about, this generation is more about wellness.
Yeah.
And back then it was like, we take care of kids because that's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
Now everybody's thinking about, well, is it my job to take care of your kids? I got a life. Grandma got a life too.
Yes.
So I think it's a mix of both of those circumstances. Mm-hmm. I think I would like to take care of my grandchildren. But I also do want to be able to do other things.
Your thing too.
Have a little bit of a balance between the two.
Okay. Now, before we get ahead of, I forgot to do this, y'all. Let's tell the audience a little bit about you all. One, Chiron kind of mentioned it. You guys like a throwback, right? Because you guys got a lot of, you know, you got four beautiful kids. And it's like, that's kind of a throwback. Whereas now people are, one, y'all married young, similar to me and Shire. Mm-hmm. So what are y'all take and y'all's philosophy on, like, where'd you get that from? Specifically you, Ryan. What made you want, like, a large family and to marry young? Or did it just kind of happen?
I felt like I was pressured. But, you know. I don't know. I always been like a lover relationship type.
Okay.
You know, I was just going with the flow.
Right.
You know, I just thought it was something you were supposed to do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Now, would I do it again at such a young age?
No, this is good. We need this.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. That's a good question, Ryan. Like, would you do it again? Or would you do anything different?
I would pause on the children making.
Okay.
At a young age. Are they in there?
They won't hear it.
Yeah, I would focus more on my career.
Okay. And that's that's good to hear, because, or interesting to hear, because I never would have guessed that. I thought that, you know, this is you're always y'all's plan or whatever to have a large family, and that you would just do it again 1,000 times over. But that's interesting. That's interesting. What about you, Simone?
Okay. So I like to think of our family as the modern day big family.
Yeah.
We have four. Four is not the biggest in the world. I've certainly met people with many more.
Right.
My maternal great grandmother had 16. My grandmother has 6. So I think a lot of what I thought of about family had to do with the wonderful families that I experienced, seeing my grandparents and the love they had for their grandkids and their kids inspired me to have what I call the modern big family. Also my aunt, my paternal aunt, had 3, and just seeing the love that they all shared for each other kind of made me think, okay, that's what I want. That's my plan.
Right.
So in some ways, I think you are right in your observation that was always part of my plan, because it was.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't always the most organized of a plan. If I have to look back on it, and I mean, like, think back, like, oh, would I do it again? I think I would. I'm not going to say I wouldn't, because I do love my family deeply. Yeah. But I think there is something to be said about thinking it all the way through, because I've always loved young children.
Right.
And babies, and
you never
I was
thought
very
about what it's like when they're older.
Yeah. I mean, you hear people talk about teenagers and just all the different stages. I'm not going to put it all on teenagers. We love you, teenagers.
Right.
You hear people talk about the challenges that you're going to experience throughout all the different stages of a child's life, mm-hmm. but it don't really hit you till you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And you like, whoa. Right. I was not prepared for this stage.
Right.
And so I feel like a lot of parenting that people don't think about is how much you have to learn along the way. And you're never, no matter how many books you read or how many great parent examples you have,
you're not going to be prepared for certain stages of their development. And boy, have there been some stages I've never experienced that I was not prepared for.
Right.
And you forget that these little kids, even though they're offspring from you, they're not going to be just like you. And that's another misstep that I think I took, was I thought, okay, I wasn't too hard. So they're going to be like me. No, they're not like me. And so that's something that I've had to humble myself about and learn from, is that all my children are going to be different, and I got to be prepared for that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I think my sister really got my children I was supposed to have.
I don't know about that.
I was a lot like her kids when I was young.
Chill and mellow.
And my sister's personality is in my children.
wait a minute. What about, why am I being punished?
That is so funny. I didn't do that, none of that.
All right, so
that is so funny.
For those listening, Shira and Ryan are my brother-in-law. They're brother and sister, right?
Yes.
So Shira was, Brian, describe Shira.
Loud.
Yeah. Look. Growing up, like, what was she like?
Shira was a back talking, smack
smart
talking,
mouth,
ready to fight you at any moment type of sister. Okay. And I was very quiet and shy.
I was very quiet.
Yeah. I was very quiet and shy. Mm-hmm. I did the right thing all the time.
It's funny, y'all, because, like, I feel like I met y'all when Ryan was still, you were, like, probably a junior in high school. And Ryan was super quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like
Cameron.
Yeah, much like our son Cameron, then Ryan just went into his own, like, came out of his shell all the way. So that's funny.
In a good way.
Yes. Ryan, did you have any more you wanted to say about the family building? Because sometimes me and Shar talk about, like, what did we say? Family planning. Yeah. And Simone, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but you guys got any advice for people who are maybe starting families?
Yeah,
how do y'all do it? How do y'all keep it together, I guess?
In this economic climate, I wouldn't suggest people do what we did in this type of climate that we're in. Since we managed to get by on some very low-paying basic jobs.
Same with us.
For a long time.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say everybody, get your career started first and then start your family. But I think I would still have the same amount of children.
Yeah.
This probably weighted.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's that. You
know? Okay, go ahead, Simone.
I think that's solid advice. I think also it's important to look at the whole picture. So what I mean by that is, again, think about, okay, you might like small children, but do you like the idea of raising a child into adulthood? Because they're never really going to go away. You're still going to be responsible to take care of them and look out for them, provide them with advice, be a shoulder to lean on. Stop. Even after they're an adult. They're always going to be looking to you. And also, do you mind being an example for the rest of your life? Because they're going to be looking to you as an example. So once you have kids, you can't just do your own thing. You always have to have them at the back of your mind. Even though, yeah, you're your own person, you're still setting the example for these children. And one more thing. It's going to be hard, but also thinking into the future. Because there's going to be a lot of times, especially if you have multiple children, they're going to fight. There's going to be times where you don't really care for them and they don't care for you. But you still love each other. But it's going to be tough. But also looking ahead to the future, I try to remind myself, one day we're all going to be grown up. Or they're all going to be grown up, excuse me. And I look forward to those days where we can be friends when they are adults. Not now. They're not my friends now. When they're adults and they come back home. And that we can have those wonderful conversations and build that big adult family. Relationship. Yeah, that comes from having a big family. So that's one positive thing that you can look forward to instead of always feeling like, oh, man, I don't wanna have no kids. That's too much drama, all that stuff. There's positives, too.
Yeah, another thing with children we have to think about is they're probably going to be in your house till they're about 30 years old. Okay, they're going to be sitting in your house 30 with their feet up.
Right.
Okay, they're just going to be there. So
yeah, they're not leaving at 18.
They're like, not like leaving at 18. Yeah, yeah, they're going to be sitting in your house for a very long time. So yeah, just be prepared point. For that.
That's a great
before
point.
Before you start popping them out.
Yeah. Okay, y'all. Shai, do you got any questions? Because I'm just rambling.
No, you know,
I feel like you're just soaking it up.
Okay, so we need to explain the setup.
Okay.
Okay, so for some reason, Marcus only gave us 3 mics to work with, and there are 4 people. Yeah, yeah. So,
they're sharing a mic.
While we put them on the spot, like, okay, and it's also Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving,
yeah, happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Shout out to y'all. Yeah.
We just kind of just asked if they would join the podcast, and I love that they're here with us. But yeah, we're talking about families, children. I think that we would have had more had you not made the decision that you made.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I feel like we were all kind of on pace, right? Wait, y'all had one, then had number 2, then we had our first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you 2 were pregnant with, you were with 3 and you were with 2 at the same time. What am I trying to say? Okay, I felt like we were like on pace, like we were kind of matching, like
every other year,
every other one.
Someone would.
But then after 2, y'all, I was done. I was just like, I can't do this.
I think it was because Taylor was crying all the time.
I think yeah. Cameron was so chill, then Taylor was more needy and stuff, and I was like, and I had the boy girl, and I was like, I went under the knife, y'all.
Look, he went under the knife, but I was still recovering from my C-section.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided you were done. Yeah. So we were both recovering.
Yeah. So, I mean, but like how you were saying, Simone and Ryan, like every family's different. You kind of just figure it out as you go. But, you know, it's cool to like look back and be like, hi, I would have did this and that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's cool. All right. I have to ask y'all. What do y'all think would like, because statistics are showing that people are getting married much later. What are your thoughts on that? You kind of hinted towards it, but do you think that that's going to help marriage going forward or hurt it going forward?
I think it will lower the divorce rate possibly.
Yeah.
If you start later, you know, if you get married young, you're probably more likely to get a divorce.
Or growing pains.
You know, if you get married later, you might just stick it out, mm-hmm. get a little older, so your clock run out.
What?
That makes sense, though.
Yeah. It depends.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree. I see your point, and I can see how it can make sense. But I'm kind of torn on that because I feel like most of the successful marriages that I'm aware of that have impacted my life were kind of on the younger side. Mm. Like my grandparents been married forever, my aunts and uncles, not all of them, but the ones that I look up to in terms of their marriage, it kind of started young for at least one of them, if not both of them being young. My concern with people getting married later is sometimes by then you both have a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you have ideas about how things should be,
right?
And you have this mindset of like, I'm my own person, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to put up with this, that, or the other. And I always tell people, not that I'm a marriage guru or anything, but marriage is much to do about compromise.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you are kind of get to that point where you're set in your ways, it's really a lot harder to compromise. And that's where I feel like a lot of elder people, when they do decide to get married or people get married later in life, they tend to not be willing to compromise, and then they're more likely to split up very easily. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's nothing to split apart.
I've been doing this by myself anyway.
I've been doing it already. I already got my house. I already got my this. I probably already had some kids.
Yeah.
So why do we need to stick together? Whereas when you get married young, you're more likely to have a period of survival mode together, and you build things together.
Yeah. Right, right. You agree with that, right?
I'm sorry. My husband's in here being silly.
Oh, he's so silly.
He always silly. But so that's my concern. Now, I don't want to make it into a debate between old people getting married versus younger people, whatever. I think there can be successful marriages on both sides. Yeah. But I just think it can make things trickier when you push it further out. But I do understand that it's happening more because people do want to be secure and build their careers. So I can understand both sides.
Yeah. Shire, what you think?
Oh, I was just thinking when you said the word compromise, that I think that sometimes people feel that if they compromise, that they are losing a part of themselves and they don't want to do that.
Mm.
But sometimes certain compromises are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be in a lasting relationship,
yeah,
you know, and it's sometimes hard to change that I into we.
Yeah.
And I think that compromise is a really important part. So,
yeah, I'm kind of like on the fence between both schools of thought, because it's like if you wait, like how you're saying, you already established, you got more baggage and all this. I feel like for all of us, we're super unique because we marry young, and it's like we kind of had to learn. We didn't know what we didn't know, you know? So we kind of had to learn everything together. And then you fast forward, like, oh man, we've been together. Like, how long y'all been together? 13?
We've been married for 14 years.
Man, that's crazy. So, like, before you know, it's like, man, we almost had 15 years of marriage, you know? So I think that, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it. But it's interesting to hear people who've been married as long as us and young, we kind of come with the energy like, yeah, you might want to wait. I hear that a lot. So I don't know.
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. I feel like a spinoff of your first question, you were asking us more about waiting to have kids, but not necessarily waiting to get married.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do y'all think about that?
Like I said, I think it was something special about just like getting married young and just, this is my thought. I think the fellas, I would tell my son to go to school, get a good job, then get married. So he's looking at maybe marriage post 25. My daughter, I'm like, get married. If you could get married at 18, go on and do it.
Marcus.
Not 18. Yeah,
that's too young. Maybe I did too much.
Well, if you marry
young.
If you marry, if she marries a mature guy, right, with a...
How mature?
With a, like a career.
Old, a yeah. old man?
So she'll be marrying someone that's where at my son's level. So she'll be marrying a 26-year-old who's got his career in motion. And she may marry him younger, but for my son, I would prefer that he gets those things in order first, then marry. I feel like that's the best bet.
I think that she should be open to the idea of marriage, because
yes.
I remember a handful of folks who said to me, you're marrying so young, I'm going to get married when I'm out of college. And once they got out of college, if they did graduate, there was not a long line of men waiting for them.
No brothers left.
You know, so it's just being open to that to the idea of marriage, if that's in fact something that you want.
Yeah.
Now, you said, you know, for your daughter, it would be appropriate, for our daughter, it would be appropriate for her to get someone who's like starting their career, but yet she's likely to marry someone like
her age.
Her age, you know?
That could work. It could work too. I just don't like the waiting for the young ladies too long, because I feel like you're just playing a dangerous game. Like, there's way more women than there are men. It's just a lot of variables with the ladies.
There's a lot of variables.
So I'm like, if you can get a brother to propose, like, sisters shouldn't be out here turning down proposals, in my opinion.
Marcus, I honestly believe.
Now we're getting spicy, right?
Oh, Richard.
Okay, we are married.
Yes.
But if we didn't get married, I'm sure someone else would have proposed to me.
So if I was a bus and you passed on this bus and said, I'll catch the next one, you think you would have found another situation like me?
Better
than me?
Me personally? I mean, I don't say I would get something better. I'm not saying I would get something better. But I don't. Okay. So that narrative puts a lot of pressure on young women.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Let's get Ryan's thought. I just feel like Ryan got something. He got something good to say on
Are
this.
Are you sure?
Oh my gosh.
About young women getting married.
Yeah, what do you think about the age of?
Oh, everybody. Yeah, I think you know what? If you got somebody and you like them, just go for it.
Just go on and do it.
You go ahead.
Go on and do it.
Yeah, there's you know what I ain't gonna say.
Yeah. What? You were going somewhere. He's just trying not to get in trouble.
This is a PG podcast. I ain't.
We're trying to spice it up a little bit. So
he just don't want to get in trouble. What was I gonna say? I kind of agree. I think if don't force it.
Yeah.
But if there is somebody that you genuinely feel like could be your person and the feelings are mutual, then it might be right, because I do think that people have a tendency to be searching for this perfect thing, this perfect magic someone who's going to come along and sweep me off my feet, whether they're the husband or the wife. And next thing you know, they don't know if they're ever going to get married.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But while you were talking about that, it also made me think about, I think a lot of people have a misconception about what marriage is, kind of going back to that compromise thing. I think we're at a point now where you should stop and think, is marriage for me? Because I do think there's some people out there that they don't really understand what marriage is about, and they jump in and then it doesn't work. And it's not because the two people weren't good people, it's because they weren't ready for what marriage required of them. So that's something that I think young men and young ladies should take into account as well, the seriousness and the binding of them.
Now, is marriage for everybody, you know? Or some people are just not for it?
Yeah, I don't think it's for everybody. I think some people, it's just not in the cards for them to do or to be with somebody. That's unfortunate. I wish it was for everyone, but that's just not real.
Is it? Yeah. But is it because they have misconceptions of what marriage is, or why do you think that's not for some people?
Man, that's deep. That's a deep question. I'm not exactly sure why.
I think some people are selfish.
Yeah. They don't have good traits.
Yeah.
For like and to be a spouse.
People, women, they won't submit.
Ooh, yeah.
Richard,
spicy now.
Richard. Some people have a problem with that. That's our culture right now. Well, it's the state of the culture.
Okay.
Why you put it all on the women though?
I gotta get this. I gotta hear this. What is y'all's knee jerk reaction when you hear the word submit? How does it? How do you feel when you hear that word?
I think they're turning on us.
Come on, sister.
Is it irritated instantly?
No,
is it?
No.
Who you think you are? Like, what's the vibes when you hear that?
No. I think that the word has, you know, has received some bad publicity.
It needs a rebrand, right? Needs some new marketing.
But my issue is that in dating, because you have to date before you get to marriage. Mm-hmm. That there's a lot of submission talk in the area of dating.
Okay.
Personally, I'm not going to submit to a man who's not my husband. But once you do get married, I feel like we just had this conversation a few weeks ago about men being the head of the house, and what does that really mean? Do women really want a head of the house? Yeah, you know, we kind of had that discussion. And I don't have a problem with submission, but let's talk about what submission looks like when on a day-to-day basis. So, he grabbed the mic. Yeah,
well, you know, we asked, you know, a simple
direct
question, and y'all skating around the answer now.
I wasn't talking.
Yeah, so before you ask your question, let's get Simone's take.
Okay, well, the answer to that is yes, a woman should submit to her own husband, okay? Yes, but it's not a power play. And I think that some, I mean, maybe stick your chest out. You're the man. Go ahead. But what does that look like in my day-to-day life? What does submission look like in my day-to-day life? Marcus, do you care to address that?
See, all right. So for full disclosure, we did counseling like maybe a year ago because I had some free sessions with work and stuff. And
Yes.
We weren't in a bad place. We were like, let's just take it to the next level. Yeah. And the lady would ask me questions like that. Like, cause I was like, you know, I feel like if we splitting it, I should get 51 and she get 49. And it's not lopsided, but I feel like if there's a deciding vote, I should be the tiebreaker. Right?
Okay.
And the lady was like, well, why? And she's like, think about it and come back in the next session and tell me why. And I really couldn't think of nothing other than, just cause. Just cause is how I should be.
I'm the man around here. That's why.
So you hit me with something good there, Shai. I don't know what submission looks like. It just looks like, for me, if there's a tiebreaker, it's like, hey, I want a vacation here and you want a vacation there. And it's both ideas on paper are like, yeah, it's a coin flip. How come I can't be the one to be like,
It's my goal this time. For a leisure vacation, you feel that you should make every decision on every place that we go?
The final stamp decision should be. We just started something. Okay.
That's submission to you? Okay.
I don't know what submission looks like. I'm out.
I mean, I don't think that is not, y'all know I'm a boisterous. I don't think that I don't submit, right? Submission to me is, are you, I don't want to be disagreeable.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if someone is disagreeable, you know, honey, do you think you
everything's
can,
a no or everything's
no,
a
why? No, or
why
can't you do it? Yeah. Or I think being disagreeable a lot is someone who's not, you know, submitting. I think that's a part of it. But I think that when a husband truly loves his wife, that submission is not a problem at all. Mm. It's not a problem.
I think submission, and I'm gonna get it to the guests. We want to hear it from them. My last thought is, I think submission may be the man having the ability to say no, that's just the end for this particular whatever we're talking about. And not that he's gonna abuse that, but that every now and again he can say, I don't think that's a good idea, and you just like, I disagree, but all right. Like, to me, that feels like submission. A healthy submission. But what do y'all think? I'm sorry, y'all. We have this debate a lot. I'm not feeling this.
I'm having so many thoughts and I'm trying to get my words together because I can talk too much and I want to make sense.
You good?
You got time. I think submission has to do a lot with how you respect your husband. But I feel like so much of it that we forget is that they kind of mirror, the two spouses mirror each other. Yes, the wife submits, but the husband also very much respects the wife. And like you said, they're not going to abuse whatever power or trust she's put in into mm-hmm. the husband. I kind of think of submission more as the husband gets to be the representation of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're home together, we still make decisions together. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he gets to be the one to maybe voice those decisions to the world. But he's never leaving the wife out of it and saying, oh, it's just me, I'm the boss. Because really, they run the household together.
I like that.
That's beautifully put.
They play parts together. And what I always liked about me and Ryan was that I always tell people, sorry, he's looking at me funny, that when I'm having a hard time in one area, I think he compliments me well. Like, say I'm having a hard time with the kids and I'm trying to discipline and it gets to a point where I'm losing my cool, then I can, I know I can step out and he'll step in and he can take over being calm and well-mannered with them where I would normally be. But at that moment, I can't. And same thing, I feel like I can kind of step in when he has a moment where he's too tired to deal with something, whatever. We pick up for each other. And I think that's important. That's the most important thing in a marriage is, it, can I trust this person to pick up where I left off?
Yeah, I like that, right?
Now, you know, submission is something hard to, you know, vocalize.
Describe,
like,
right.
To describe. Like, it's just something that you just see.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. He. Sometimes you can look at a couple and be like, okay, he's running it. And you can look at it and be like, oh, she's running it. It's just, yeah, so sometimes it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's like two different aspects. Like, okay, we got that aspect of what you can see, and then the financial side.
Yeah.
Of like, what's really going on.
Right.
With the pockets. Like, right. Who's running the accounts? Who's doing that? Who's doing
yeah.
it? So,
yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's just something you just have to see. It's some, it's, you can't really describe it.
Right. Like, I think when me and Shara first was together, remember, Shara, I asked you, I was like, yo, could you just, like, make, let me be the man in front of everybody? Like, it was something that happened, and Shara was like, she, like, fronted me in front of people or did something.
What happened?
I don't remember.
No, you can't throw me under the bus.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Like,
I do
tell
this.
Tell me what happened.
It was something. And I was, then when we got home, I was like, yo, Shy, just like, could you not do that in public? You get bark at home or whatever, but in public, just make people think I'm the man. I remember asking you that really early. I forget what about.
This must have been years and years ago.
But to Ryan's point, like, that's, it's like, how does it look outside and how does it look inside? It is two totally different things.
Yeah, there's like little subtle things that Simone does. Shows that she submits. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Look, awkward. No, like,
I guess it's a compliment.
Like, old example, like, I remember I didn't have my bank card and we were at the register.
Yeah.
So Simone pulls her out and she slides it to me.
And yes.
And then I'll be like, all right, boop. You know what I'm saying? Like, she won't step out the way and be like, I'm a pay. Like,
right. Yeah, I like that.
Truth be told, at the same time, it's the same bank account. Like,
I know it is. It's the optics. It's the optics.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of brothers out there. It is broke. They don't know who I am.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. And I
you could be buying my groceries. I don't know.
Right.
I guess I can look like a player, though.
With the four kids behind us.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one.
But I just wanted to touch on something because you brought up something, Brother Marcus. What did you say? Oh, about in public. But I feel like, see, that's why it's so hard to pin down what we mean by submit, because you could take that the other way too. Like, what if we're in public and Ryan is not this way at all, but what if he was hounding in on me in front of other people? That still wouldn't be cool because he's the head of the household. That's
right.
Still, we still need to respect each other in public and in private, whether yeah. you're the husband or the wife. So I think that is part of the reason why in this modern day, it's so tricky to define. What do we mean by submit? Because a lot of that just sounds like having mutual respect for each other.
That's key. And you said that earlier, Simone. Now I wanted to highlight that. I think that's all it is. It's like playing off each other, respecting each other. Then we ain't never going to have no, we'll still have problems, but we'll never have that submission, you know, conversation or disagreement when everyone's respecting everybody.
Okay, but I think that to you, Marcus, that submission means that you get the final say. You just want to have the final say.
I don't mean to make you look bad,
but Marcus. Yeah, like, got me out there looking crazy. Nah, I think like, if there's 10 final
says.
Do
you want the final say? Going back to the vacation.
If there's 10 final says that need to happen in a year's time, right?
Uh-huh.
Let me get 6 of them. You get 4. I just got to get one more. I don't know why. I just said. All right. We changing subjects now. Yeah, I got some more stuff to talk about.
Oh, my goodness, boy.
Ryan, I want to get your take on and I don't know where y'all are, and you don't have to tell us, of course, but how do you feel about your wife making more than you? Sometimes we've had this conversation on the podcast or whatever. Does that change the dynamic as far as, you know, leadership and whatnot in the house? Or do you feel like money, that's not the 100% thing that determines who's the alpha in the house? But what's your thoughts on that, Ryan?
Just the way we run our finances, I'll be happy if someone makes like a whole bunch of money, because I get to, it's in the account,
yeah.
Joint account.
Yep.
It's gonna come out.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And we don't really have any gripes. Yeah. Anything. Come home with a motorcycle or something. But I don't usually do anything outlandish. And
yeah.
You know, if the woman makes more, then yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I think you're good because I let you run the finances. So that's why it I don't think it would matter. Like you said, we have a joint account. You the main one who manages everything. I mean, not that I don't look in or have authority or ability to manage right along with you, but you kind of take the reins in that area, especially at this time. So I think you're comfortable and confident with what direction it would go, whether I made more or not. So I feel like that's a big factor.
You know what? With women, y'all gotta trust your man, okay?
Come on, right?
Trust what we gonna do, okay?
Tell him
just trust us.
Yeah.
Put the money in there.
Money in there.
And we'll go from there. Okay.
Yeah. Now, and I agree with that, Ryan, because
you agree?
Well,
with which part?
I feel like we run things very similar, because we definitely joint accounts, but I pay all the bills. But you're very aware of what's doing what. But the act of paying things, Shia's just hating y'all. The act of paying things, I do. Like, you've never set up a bill pay. You don't know who to pay to keep the lights on. You don't know how the car insurance is safe. But
no, I don't.
Collectively share. Yes, we share everything.
You said you paid all of the bills. So,
meaning the logistics of paying the bills, not the money of paying the bills. That's joint. That's everything together. But
you set up like the,
you know, where I put everything withdrawals. Where it's going to go.
Yes, yeah. You handle those types of phone calls.
And you trust me to do that. And I haven't, you know, like
Ryan
said.
Lights are still on.
Lights is on.
But can I just say this? I appreciate all of what y'all doing to keep these households running. Mm-hmm. But I do think a woman can set up a direct deposit, whatever it is.
You could drive a car with your feet, but it wouldn't be a good idea. No, you're right. But I just think it's cool, like what Ryan said, like, go on and trust us. We ain't going to mess y'all up.
Marcus, I trusted Marcus. Marcus just about put us in the poorhouse. So.
You know what? Sorry, y'all. I'm just getting all these thoughts.
No, did you hear what I said?
Oh, almost put us in the poorhouse. I've evolved since then. Yeah, I've evolved since then.
Many years ago.
I think when we go back to the submission conversation,
okay,
the trust is key too. Like, trusting your husband or your partner to be able to, like, even if it's like, man, he might mess that. I don't know if that's a great idea. The trust shows submission a little bit too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes, I hear you. I have a question though, because I think that, you know, your relationship will evolve. It's not going to stay the same. Each of us, I'm not the same person that you married 16 years ago. You know, like, we've evolved. But I do have a question, because like when we first started dating, we were best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a friendship that evolved into a relationship. 3 months, by the way. After 3 months, you proposed to me. A 7-month engagement. Now, here we are all these years later. And it's like, hey, you know, submit to me. But that was not what you were saying while we were dating.
I see what you're saying.
So yeah. I feel like it's like a new conversation.
Yes.
For us. I mean, it's not brand new.
this and this is why I agree with you. And I think this is why for my son, I would prefer for him to have his money, have his career, and then marry someone who's maybe 3, 4, 5 years younger.
But you're saying that because you think that the money gives him a level of authority.
Yeah, he got a little position there.
And I think that that's...
got a little weight to it.
That's the dominating narrative.
I feel like women desire that.
That's kind of like the high-value man. Mm-hmm. Basically, if my son is a high-value man, then he can, you know, get with anyone. That's great, but once you... The high value man is married. He's still in a marital relationship, and they're still going to go through, you know, growth pains, and the relationship will evolve over time. And once a high value man is married, I mean, legally, that's her money too. So you're using that money as a leverage at the beginning of a relationship, but not during the actual.
But it sets a precedent with, because like you said, me and you came in, we was like equals.
I don't think so. Now, we how still can are we change equal, that? But yeah. We still are equal.
What y'all think?
Now y'all see.
Why you put the mic on me though? All
right.
Yeah, what you think? If we're equal or not, or
that does not need. No. We are equal.
No, we are equal.
I was gonna say something about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna try. I like to think of it, and I do this with my kids too, because they like, you always act like you're more important because you get to make all the decisions because you're the one in charge. But yes, the husband or even the parent, at sometimes they might be making more decisions, but they're responsible for more, right? So I feel like we all are playing our part. That doesn't mean that one person is more valuable than the other. We all do what we can to contribute to the family.
Right.
So I think sometimes we get caught in our heads about, oh, because you say you get to make this decision, Marcus gets to plan the trips, sounds like. And this person get to do that. But at the end of the day, we all got to put in work. Yeah. And so, yeah, maybe Ryan...
Maybe different work,
but it's just as valuable. So yeah. Maybe Ryan does more of the finances, but I tend to do more of the managing what's going on with the children and school and like making sure they know how to read and get their things together and stuff like that. So not saying he's not an active parent, he is. Not saying I'm not a person who contributes to the finance, I am, but maybe one of us takes more of a leading role in a certain area, but at the end of the day, we come up together as equals and then we thrive.
Man, y'all got some good answers.
Hey man, look at me.
You edit that out.
How was that? What was wrong with that?
No, he's joking.
He's so mean.
Look, you know, if we end up homeless, who's gonna get the blame?
Come on, bro.
Is it gonna be? Are you gonna looking at Shira? Like, are you gonna look at Marcus? They're gonna look at Marcus.
They okay,
so
Marcus.
We gotta like, you know, we gotta have control. Okay, we gotta have control.
I agree with Ryan. I know he's kind of being jokingly, but that is true. That like, too much is given, much is required. You know what I mean? So it's like. And I always said that too. That's the main reason why I wanted to be in charge of finances, or not in charge of finances. Let me choose my words right. But be an overseer of what gets paid and what doesn't. Because it's like, if we end up homeless, they're going to be like, man, he couldn't even take care of his family. he couldn't even pay the bills. So I always wanted to.
I have to ask you a question, Marcus, because you've had a couple of questions that included finances. There have been many comments about finances and how finances are managed. But if you're in a relationship and say the husband loses a job, are you saying that he loses his position in the home?
No. I'm a man without it. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I don't think so, but it after a while, you're going to start to look at him sideways. Let's just be all the way real.
Okay.
If I lose my job and I don't come up with something to fix that in 6 months or less,
okay, we're
going to have problems.
Yeah, it'll be a big problem. And Marcus might be out of here. He might be on his way out.
And that's just reality. Is it fair? No, but I know that as a man, like I can't like not work ever again. I have to figure it out, you know, so.
Sorry, if it was the other way around. You lost your job. you will still have a place here.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Marcus? I think he might get annoyed too, though. I think he would get annoyed at this modern day when most people have to have two income households. You don't think Marcus might be getting a little annoyed after the 30th time coming home and Shire got her feet up?
You're like, Shire, what you in here doing? Nah, but man, I think this is a good combo. And I appreciate having y'all on, man. Because, like, really, we're kind of like Martians. There's no... Marcus. I don't know a lot of people that's married.
Martians.
Just think about it. We're in our mid to late 30s. We've been married 14 plus years.
That's almost half your life.
I don't really know more other couples like that. Yeah. So it's just cool to talk to another couple like that. So any final thoughts, Shire? Any final questions?
Okay. Yes. No final questions. But I think some of the themes that we talked about was compromise, right? We had a very colorful conversation, but we're all dedicated to our marriages. We've been married for a long time, but like I mentioned, compromise, willing to adjust. A theme of respect came up, so making sure you're respecting your husband, that's something that men value, and also doing whatever you can to just make it work. Because in the end, it's worth it.
Yep. Any final thoughts, Ryan, Simone?
My final thought is not everybody's built for this.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And not everybody's going to be married or married forever. And that's okay. You'll be all right.
Who not going to be married forever, Ryan?
Some people that I know.
Okay.
Yeah, and, I think you have a point. You definitely have a point. Simone, any final thoughts?
You got to be willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Message.
Yes. Oh, and also the positive, and it can be beautiful. Yeah. I don't want people to come out of it thinking like, oh, so many people, young people out here nowadays, it seem like they have like a sour taste in their mouth about the idea of marriage and don't even think about bringing up children. But there are some beautiful aspects to that. It's a lot of work. It's not the easiest life. You don't always get to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. But I feel like it comes back as a blessing tenfold. So that's something to keep in mind.
Yep. All right, y'all. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, do us a huge favor. Leave us a 5-star review. And we're going to holler at y'all on the next one. Peace.
Bye.